This evening, we're commemorating the presentation of Jesus in the temple. And this important event is recorded in our gospel reading found in Luke 2. Now, in this passage, Luke is continuing his account of the early life of Jesus. Earlier in this very chapter, Luke records for us the very familiar words of the Christmas story, Jesus being born in the manger, angels singing to the shepherds in the wilderness. Then, after that story concludes, Luke then notes that Jesus was circumcised 8 days after his birth, as prescribed in the law. And then that brings us up to our reading for today. So in this passage, we read that Mary and Joseph were in Jerusalem, so Mary could make a sacrifice to purify herself after childbirth. They were also there so Jesus, as the firstborn child, could be redeemed before God. The law required that God was to be given the first fruits of the land, and this included firstborn children, animals, the fruits of your fields. Now, there was a provision that an offering could be made to redeem the firstborn, and that's what Mary and Joseph were doing. And the sacrifice that they offered indicated that they were poor. The standard sacrifice would have been a lamb, but Luke recounts that they offered a pair of turtle doves or young pigeons instead. And so we see Jesus at his birth, despite the announcement of the angels, the glorious heavenly hosts, he was born into poverty. And that's where he begins his life. The Savior is born in poverty. But we see from this opening section in Luke's account, he talks about all these laws. Maybe you're reading them and you're like, I don't understand. Like, they're purified. Like, what is happening here? And it is a little obscure to us today. But here's the point you can take away from this, right? You don't have to read, like, all your Old Testament commentaries and stuff. Takeaway is this, right? Is that in this section, Luke is telling us that from his birth, Jesus was fulfilling the law for us. He was circumcised 8 days like he was supposed to be. He was redeemed by his family in the temple like he was supposed to be. His mother was purified the way she was supposed to be. So from the very moment he was born, Jesus was already fulfilling the law, keeping it for us and earning life for himself. And as the only person born free from sin, Jesus, the only person who could actually earn life by obeying the law. And so Luke is making this point from the very beginning that Jesus was keeping the law. Every box was checked from the moment he was born. Jesus' life from birth to death was an offering of perfect obedience unto God. He's the only person who kept the whole law of God for his whole life. Not only did he not deserve punishment or death, but Jesus also positively earned life with God. He did what the first Adam failed to do. And so yes, even though these sacrifices seem a little less obvious to us, like why is Luke taking the time to tell us he did this, and he was circumcised, and that's kind of a grisly thing to think about. And, you know, they're sacrificing all these things. This is important, even though they seem less exciting and interesting than the angels pronouncing Jesus' birth. And the reason why they're so important, why Luke is taking the time, is that Jesus keeping the law is essential to his work as the Savior. If he didn't keep the law, he wouldn't have been able to save us. So now as we move on to our passage, we encounter two people who are present for Jesus' presentation. Luke introduces us to the first person, a man named Simeon. Simeon is described as a righteous and devout man, someone who is waiting for the coming Messiah to deliver God's people. He had received the Holy Spirit, which was uncommon at that time, and he had received special revelation from God that he would live until he saw the Messiah come. He was in the temple that day because it says the Holy Spirit had led him there. So God made this promise to him, and God led him to come at the right moment to see the Messiah. And when he saw the Holy Family, he knew that he was in the presence of the Son of God. And his response has been memorialized in our prayer books as the Nunc Dimittis, or Song of Simeon. In it, Simeon praises God for allowing him to see God's salvation for his people. In his arms, he held the one who would be a light to the nations and would bring glory to his people Israel. Just seeing the Messiah as a child was enough for Simeon to be ready to pass into the next life. He had seen that God's promises were true and that they were even then being fulfilled. And so after blessing the family, Simeon tells Mary that her son's ministry is going to be full of conflict and heartbreak. And it's possible he's alluding to the predictions that the work of the Messiah would be a blessing to some and a stumbling block to others. To those who believed he would bring their rise and salvation, to those who stumbled at his teaching and didn't believe, they would fall and be condemned. Mary herself would suffer, which was ultimately fulfilled as she watched her son be tortured and murdered on the cross. So we can see here, even at the beginning of Jesus' life, he's fulfilling the law for us. We see that he's going to win this great victory and bring salvation to us. And yet, it's not going to be without conflict. He's going to have to suffer to accomplish his deliverance of his people. And then Luke introduces us to a prophetess named Anna. She was an elderly widow who is devoted to worshiping in the temple. It's likely that she lived nearby and spent most of her time praying and worshiping there. Luke records that she was coming to the temple to worship. And when she saw the Holy Family, she too, like Simeon, broke into thanksgiving and praise to God. She recognized the baby as the long-promised Messiah who would save his people. And what does it say she did in the text? It says that she went and told all her friends who were also waiting for God's redemption. She saw that God's promises were being fulfilled. The Messiah had come. So she praised God and told other people about it. And so then Luke concludes our passage by affirming that Mary and Joseph did everything in accordance with the law. They returned home, and Jesus grew and was filled with wisdom. God's favor was upon him. Now, Simeon and Anna's responses have much to teach us. The two of them here, you can think of them as the embodiment of believing Israel, those who were faithful. They weren't rich, powerful, they weren't religious leaders. Instead, they were faithful people who believed the promises of God, even when things appeared bleak and hopeless. They persevered in their faith because they trusted God. Remember, at this time, it had been hundreds of years since people had heard from God. People of Israel were living under Roman rule. You know, this wasn't a time where, like, you know, Elijah hadn't just been alive. Like, they were under the oppressor. Like, the reality on the ground for them did not look like God's promises were being fulfilled. But they believed God that he was going to send his Messiah to deliver his people. And God blessed them, and they saw the Messiah. Now, Simeon's response points us to the inclusiveness and cost of our salvation. Simeon makes it clear that God's salvation was for the whole world. Jesus wasn't just a Jewish Messiah who's coming to deliver the people of the world. He was the Lamb of God who'd come to take away the sins of the world. Simeon also directs our attention to the fact that Jesus' life and ministry would be opposed. People would reject his teaching. They would oppose him. They would call him someone who is possessed by demons, a blasphemer. The infant he held in his arms was going to face severe conflict. It was going to cost him his life. And of course, we know that this was God's plan, and Jesus' suffering and death would bring about the salvation of his people. Our response to the gospel should be like Simeon and Anna's. We are called to respond to God's work with thanksgiving and praise. We are to recognize the high cost of our salvation and be driven to share it with others, even if that leads us to suffer some kind of embarrassment or face opposition. Anna and Simeon both rightly recognized Jesus, and they saw he was the fulfillment of God's promises. Like them, we ought to respond with faith and thanksgiving. Like them, we need to be bold in our faith and share it with others. And so in conclusion, yes, this passage can seem a little opaque. On the surface, it seems like, why is Luke taking, you know, this precious amount of space in his gospel to talk about, like, these obscure sacrifices to us? But when we look at this closely, we see that the presentation of Jesus in the temple is an integral part of our salvation. Luke is making the point that every part of Jesus' life, from the very beginning, even when he was a baby, it was beyond his control, God was working everything out so he would be the perfect sacrifice for us. He would perfectly keep God's law. From his very birth, Jesus was earning life for us. It's God incarnate. Every moment he lived of his life was lived on our behalf. He did what the first Adam failed to do. He obeyed God, and Jesus defeated the serpent. So in response, let us join with Simeon and Anna in praising God and thanking him for our salvation. Amen.